Please turn with me tonight to the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 36. Ezekiel, chapter 36. And I'm reading verse 26. The prophet Ezekiel, chapter 36, verse 26. A new heart also will I give you, and the new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. So my title tonight, very simple, the problem of the heart. The problem of the heart. And of course, as you heard, I'm sure preachers often mention this statement, the problem of the heart is the heart of the problem. So, the heart problem, the heart of the problem is what's going on in our hearts. But don't worry, I will explain the heart. There are many, many promises given to us in this chapter. But I really want to concentrate just on one verse, that verse. Otherwise, this is, if you are seeking for salvation, if you really want to find the Lord, every verse in this chapter is a call to abandon my old ways, to forsake my sins, and to seek for the Lord. So this is God's diagnosis. He is giving to us what is our problem. Oh, my dear friends, the problem of our hearts is pathetic. It is tragic. We may not realize that. But as you look at from the Word of God, from the beginning, God says that our hearts are sin-sick. Our hearts are bent and broken. Our hearts are vicious. And I can tell you from experience that older you get, you really see the wickedness of your heart. Although you get the young people, they do not realize that yet. Hopefully they will realize it very soon. But don't wait, don't wait. But I can tell you, as time flies, as you are aging, you see how the heart is pathetic. Without the Lord, we will only sink. That's really, there is no good word I could find. We will drown ourselves. We will sink. And we will be completely lost. That's the faith is waiting for everyone among us tonight who has never sought and found the Lord. My dear friends, our hearts are vicious. And in Jeremiah 17, it says that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And left to ourselves, we will only carry on in that desperate situation. My dear friends, how could I describe to you the desolation of our human heart? No wonder, just thinking about it, no wonder all of us, there are exceptions of course, we come into this world head down, and feet up. Did you ever thought about that? Why is that? Oh, I know people will say it's better, that's the easier way, and so on. But it shows, really, instead of us relating to God up, we sink down, 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 dust of the dust. This is what we go back to. But there is hope. There is hope. And when you read in the Bible in Genesis chapter 8, it is said, every inclination of our heart is evil from childhood. So that's why we often say, it doesn't matter. Even the child in his mother's womb, his identity before the Creator, he's a sinner. He's a sinner. Oh yes, he has not done yet sin in action. He has not yet disobeyed God. But because he is born in Adam, not in Christ, he is born in this world. He is born from a man and a woman. His first identity, before even he is given a name by his father and mother, this first identity is that he is a sinner. And left to ourselves, that identity will always remain as such. So the prophet Ezekiel gives us here a great promise. So we all have a heart problem. And if we remain unsaved, unconverted, it's like the child, when the child, that's why they monitor the child before he is born, when he's getting depressed, he's getting stressed there, they must do something. If the child is trying to help the mother, he's putting himself into trouble and he's putting the mother into trouble. What am I saying here? Yeah, that's not my speciality, not at all. But what I mean here, more we try to help ourselves, by trying to be perfect, by trying to be better, by trying to improve ourselves, we actually aggravate the situation. My dear friends, without Christ, if you are trying to make yourself better, it's like when you are washing, you have never tried that, please don't try it, it's like trying to wash a muddy floor. More water you put into it, it becomes dirty and filthy. So that's our hearts. More we try, we will try this fix, that fix, this religion, the good works here, prayers, thousands of prayers and so on. But at the end of the day, we remain as we are. And even our situation is aggravated. In the same way, our physical, or when we have a heart failure, or we have a problem with our heart, that leaves us a handicap in many things in our lives. So the same, when we speak about the spiritual heart, the failure of our spiritual hearts leaves us with many, many aggravations. So that's why the prophet says, a new heart will I give you. My dear friends, the Bible, I won't detain you with this, but the Bible has so much to tell us about the heart. Please, I want to draw your attention. I'm not speaking about the organ, that member pumping the blood in our bodies. Actually, you will be surprised, I hope. The member, that organ, is only, I give you just a rough figure, is not mentioned less than 10 times in the whole Bible. But the heart we are speaking about tonight, this is mentioned hundreds and hundreds of times in the Bible. What do we mean by heart? That's why we call it the problem of the heart, not the organ. But when we speak about the heart, it means the inner man, your character, your personality, your nature, your mind, your will, your feelings, your emotions, your sentiments. This is what we are talking about. And many times, please allow me just to give you a hint. I want to be positive. Normally, people complain, oh, preachers are always negative, negative. But before I come to the negative part, I want to do an exception. Let me speak to you, first of all, about the good heart. The good heart. Because in the Bible, these things are mentioned. And the first thing we read in the Bible, that there is a contrite and broken heart. The contrite and broken heart does what? It receives the Lord. The contrite and broken heart is a humble heart. But Bible says also there is the good heart. And the good heart receives the word with joy. When the word of God is preached, when the word is being taught, oh, the good heart, it's like the good soil. The good soil will receive the seed, and the seed will bear fruits in abundance. But the Bible speaks also about the opened heart. In Acts chapter 16, there is a trade woman, and it is said in verse 14 that the Lord opened her heart. And the opened heart receives and believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible speaks, I could have given you all the references, but the Bible speaks also about the single, undivided heart And that heart cleaves to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible speaks also about the pure heart. The pure heart. What is it, the pure heart? Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." So the pure heart is the heart who loves the Lord and cleaves to the Lord fervently. But allow me to give you one last one. In Hebrews chapter 4, the Bible speaks also about a true heart, a genuine heart. And the true and genuine hearts come closer to God. So I hope that is helpful to show you this is not about the organ, but your personality, your emotions, your mind, the mind being the palace of faith, the heart being the seat of emotions, and the volitional part. Your volition must be in action in order to find the Lord Jesus Christ. So, my dear friends, come to the text, verse 26, Ezekiel 36, verse 26. Oh, I believe this is a gospel text. This is a golden text. This is a wonderful text. It speaks about being saved. It's about salvation. And that's what I will do my best to show you. Oh, it is about being saved and having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to constantly, continuously examine and check our hearts. My dear friends, did you notice something? Why is God not giving us or not promising to give us a new head? Why not a new hand? Why not new lungs? Why not new liver? Why not? But you see, the heart in the Bible governs your actions and your being. So, if you have a new heart, you will have everything new. Your character will be changed. Your desires will be changed. You will have fellowship with the living God. You will have heaven. You will be adopted in the family of God. And you will see that this world is nothing in comparison to eternity. So, a new heart, God said, He will give to us. So, the prophet is saying, we need a doctor. We need the physician of souls. Oh, please allow me to give this title to God. Dr. God, the cardiologist, is inviting us. And he says, young and old, if you repent and trust on the Lord Jesus Christ, he shed blood on the cross of Calvary. Oh, he hasn't done anything wrong. He's God. He's God over all. In heaven, he didn't need us. He doesn't need us even now, but he humbled himself. He came, and instead of us welcoming him, we said, let him be crucified on the cross of Calvary. But through his blood, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says that through his blood and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sins. Oh, there is no greater gift you can receive except leaving this place tonight. All your sins are forgiven for his name's sake, Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 12. For his name's sake, you receive the salvation of all your sins. Oh, that's the greatest gain. No value. I wish to speak for you. Let me speak for you. I'm ready to lose heaven and earth and to gain that new heart. To gain the forgiveness of my sins. Gold won't give it to you. Religion won't give it to you. Prayers won't give it to you. Good works won't give it to you. It is only to be received. It is an insult. You know that even for our human race, you and me, when somebody wants to contribute to a gift, it's not a gift anymore. That's why we say salvation is free. It is by grace. We only receive it. So the cardiologist is saying, I can receive that new heart free of charge. Nothing to do except to repent and to trust on the Lord Jesus Christ. The spiritual condition of your heart should make you to be worried every day. Now, I won't be long, I promise. What kind of hearts do we have? What kind of heart spiritually is beating in us? What makes us to be alive? Because actually, without repentance, without believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, Bible says we are dead. We are dead, walking dead. That's the description given to us in the Word of God. But please look at the first description in the verse. Bible says we have stony hearts. Stony hearts. A heart of stone. And since the Garden of Eden, from the day Adam and Eve, I hope everyone knows Adam and Eve, our first parents, and the Garden of Eden, God put them in that garden, it was paradise. But since they sinned against the living God, we are all born alienated and separated from God with diseased hearts. Our hearts are diseased, incurable. And they come, we all come with so much duplicity in this world. But that is the stony heart. Like a stone, our hearts are so cold. They are unresponsive to spiritual things. And as you know, a stone cannot believe. So left to ourselves, we are so hard, we are dry, we are impenetrable. And I'm sure you often say that. We speak about someone as having a hard heart. Do you know him? His heart is so hard. But actually, this is about all of us. We have hard hearts. So cold. So inflexible. Our hearts are not pliable. You know, when you take clay, you can shape the clay. You can make a statue. You can make different shape, like a Play-Doh. But with a stony heart, pour water on it. Nothing. You will never get it wet. It is dry. That is the impediment about each one of us if we remain unsaved. The stone is unmovable. Our hearts have been hardened by countless sins, and we have offended God. That's the stony heart, and that stony heart makes us to be guilty, guilty before God. My dear friends, please remember, Bible says that one day we shall all stand before the living God. Some people laugh about it. Oh, but it is a reality. That's why I read for you Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is now, therefore, no more condemnation. For whom? For those who are in Christ Jesus. So, is your heart beating for yourself? Is your heart beating for the world? Is your heart beating for the Lord Jesus Christ? In who are you? So, that's the stony heart. What kind of heart we have? The first one is the stony heart. But second, look at the verse again. A new heart also will I give you, and the new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. The second heart spoken about by Ezekiel is the fleshy heart, the heart of flesh. What makes a difference? What is so important about that heart? This heart is sensitive. This heart is opened. This heart is concerned. Oh, the fleshy heart says, Lord, I'm a sinner. The fleshy heart says, Lord, help me to love thee. The fleshy heart says, Lord, I need a new heart. Lord, I need that new heart to love thy word and to heed to thy word. The fleshy heart says, Lord, help me to pray. Because I know without prayer, I will never have audience with the living God. That's the new heart, the fleshy heart. That's how it reacts. And instead of a dead heart, God gives me life. God gives me energy. God gives me resources. God gives me forgiveness of sins. God gives me a new name. God gives me adoption. Now I'm a child of God instead of being child of the prince of the air, which is Satan. So these are promises given to us, and the good thing, the lion, that wild animal in me, now is humbled. The lion becomes a lamb. The profane, the secular, the one who is living just for the things of this world is moved and he's changed. And now instead of just being profane, now I want to be holy, a holy person. Not just a happy person, but I want to live to please the Lord, to walk with the Lord, and to serve the Lord. Oh, these are gifts given to us. But look what happens. The stony heart is removed. The fleshy heart comes in. But the fleshy heart may be inanimate, not moving. But look, there is something said in the verse. Verse 26 again. A new heart God is going to give us. God brings not inanimation, but God brings in your life animation. There is life now. You can pray. Before you were not able to utter a word. And when you prayed, it's just for your benefit, me and me, I and myself. That's the whole world centers just about around you. But now, with the new heart, there is life. God takes our old heart and replaces it with a new one that corresponds to his nature. We receive a spiritual heart transplant. And when God does that, he brings a shock in our lives. You can see that when the heart stops, they try to reanimate the person by creating a shock. So the same, do you know what is that shock spiritually? There is a crisis. Now I see, and I need to repent. I want to believe in God because I see that I'm a wretched sinner. If that crisis has never happened in your life, Bible says you didn't have a new heart. And you see, with the new heart also, when there is a surgery or there is a procedure or an operation, when you go to the theater in the hospital, the patient is doing nothing. You have to utterly yield your life to the doctor. So in the same way, in order to receive that new heart, I do nothing. Nothing in action. I don't offer praise. I don't offer good works. I only believe what God has already said he is going to give me, and I receive it freely. But now look at the promise. There is a great promise given to us there. We go through that crisis, and we receive this. Oh, this is remarkable. Not the old heart patched up. And God says in verse 26, he is going to give us a new heart. But the question, I'm almost done. The question is, where would I find that new heart? Will someone else, come and give me that heart? No, we are all the same. Your heart is as sick as my heart. So how could I have your heart, or how could you have my heart? And as you know, for a heart transplant also, there must be somebody who dies in order to take that heart and replace the diseased heart. But where would I find that donor? Oh, this is where the gospel comes in. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ has done? He is the second person of the Godhead, and he fulfilled the promise here. By the way, this is a promise. This is a prophecy, but this is also a provision. And God said he will give us a new heart. He came himself. He died on the cross of Calvary on the third day. Check every religion you want. Please show me one religion which can present to you and me that its Savior is alive. No religion can even show you the power of its own gurus. But we have the Redeemer. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. As I said, he is God. God of the very God. But he became a man. He walked on this earth for 33 years, 2,000 years ago or more. And we sinners, we said, let him be crucified on the cross. But on that cross, he was taking upon himself the punishment. Oh, children and adult alike, he was taking your punishment and my punishment if you have ever come to him in repentance and faith. So, if we repent and trust on the Lord Jesus Christ, in his sacrifice, our bodies will never reject his heart. Because, you know, even if you find a heart, it has to be compatible. But the Lord Jesus Christ's heart will always be compatible with a sinner's heart. Because he's the cardiologist. He's the physician of souls. And he does that mighty work. Our heart will beat at the same rhythm as his. Good news. Good news. In my little knowledge, I'm not updated about these things, but I was told that, or I read somewhere, that heart transplant is the most expensive surgery that can happen today. And nobody can tell if it will be successful or not. But you see, the spiritual heart transplant, first of all, it is free. It is free. And second, it will always, always be successful. If you really come to the Lord, if you have really repented from your sins, the Lord Jesus Christ will never fail. Never. He is more than conqueror. He is more than victorious. And he will give you that new heart because Christ is a sufficient donor to millions of hearts to replace. He is available to all. You don't have to wait for a compatible heart. It's here. The Lord Jesus has that heart. And the Lord is the donor. Oh, take his promise to yourself. As I said earlier, I will really, if I was not converted, just from this verse, if I was not converted, I would give heaven and earth to find that new heart tonight. So I plead with thee, with each one of you. Do you have that new heart? You don't have to go to any hospital. You don't have to go to any cardiologist. You come to him where you are. As I was saying last Sunday evening, you don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to invite the Lord Jesus Christ anywhere. He is right there. Christ is not limited by space and time. He is right there. I call upon him. I cleave to him. And he gives me that new heart. The first heart transplant was not long time ago, actually. In 1967 in South Africa, it happened. But guess what? The patient with the new heart lived only for 18 days. 18 days. Nowadays, with the technology and all with what we have in modernity, the average heart transplant lives for 15 to 20 years. Why am I telling you? Not just to give you an information, but when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you won't live for 18 days. You won't live for 15 days or 15 years. You will have everlasting life. Everlasting life. That life is indestructible. Why? Because it is the life of God himself. And Christ will give you a heart that will never fail. The new heart the Lord Jesus Christ gives to you is an eternal heart. You will forever live with him. And the body will die, but your soul has eternal life. I close by saying this. Many, many times, my dear friends, many, many times in the Bible says, do not harden your heart. May the Lord give you that flexible, pliable, sensitive, open, and concerned heart tonight to find salvation. Please call upon the physician of your soul. Ask him to remove that old heart from you. Repent from all your sins and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what David said in Psalm 139, verse 24? He said, O Lord, search my heart. Search my heart. Give me a new heart. Examine my heart. O Lord, help me if I'm walking in the wrong direction, in the wrong way. And if you have never found the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have never come to him in repentance and faith, as an ordinary preacher, I can tell you, you are walking in the wrong direction. But you come to him and you plead with him tonight. He will give you a new heart. He will also give you a new spirit. He will give you a new nature. And you will be in the biggest and the richest family in the world. All your sins will be forgiven. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, O Lord, we thank thee for thy word. What great promises we are given. What great provision, what magnificent provision is here for sinners. That God's heart is available. And we, who are just flesh, bones, and blood, our hearts can beat at the same rhythm as God's heart. O Lord, come and remove that old heart. Lord, help us. And if there is anyone among us who is seeking after thee, O Lord, we pray that thou will give him a hand, and that this night will be his night of salvation, that new heart will replace the old one, and that he will find the forgiveness of all his sins in the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask these blessings in his name and for his sake. Amen. Let's sing together our last hymn, hymn number 194. Hymn number 194.